what family and friends are sharing about the lives of two women shot and killed in their Apex neighborhood. Then, mandatory threat assessment teams are coming soon to your child's school. How experts believe it could help save lives.
We're tracking a system bringing rain chances and temperature changes. How chilly it's about to feel and the timing to dodge raindrops.
Then, Taylor Swift connected to a new conspiracy about the Super Bowl. WRAL goes in-depth on how it could influence the election season. Right now, Raleigh's police chief is meeting with business owners in Glenwood South about how to curb crime in the area. The meeting starts right at 7 o'clock. Thanks for joining us. I'm Ashley Rowe.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. More officers started patrolling that area last fall, you may remember, and it might just be working. WRL's Aaron Thomas is at the meeting tonight to find out what else city leaders want to do to continue the positive trend they've been seeing.
I'm standing in Glenwood Avenue. This is the entertainment district in Raleigh. Look for yourself. You can see that it is calm given that it's Monday, but if you've ever been out here on a Friday or the weekend, it can get rowdy. WRL has reported on a number of concerns from neighbors as well as business owners. What happening right now, Raleigh Police Chief Estella Patterson is meeting with people to go over crime reduction. Back in September, RPD has increased the number of officers that patrons see in this area. The purpose of this meeting tonight is to go over what crime reduction efforts are working and if there's more that can be done. I'm going to step into this meeting that's happening right now. It's currently happening at the Hampton Inn. Started at 7. It goes until 9. And of course, I'll have a live report beginning at 10 on Fox 50. Aaron Thomas, WRL News, Raleigh.
All right. Thanks to Aaron. And among the safety measures already in place, police officers blocked traffic to 5 intersections in Glenwood South to make it safer for pedestrians. They also will soon have higher fines for noise ordinance violations. That takes effect this Saturday.
Tonight, people in Apex came together to mourn these two women, Nancy Taylor and Gabrielle Raymond. Police say their neighbor, a former U.S. Army captain, shot and killed them last month. Tonight, the focus was not on the suspect. It was on the victims and their families. WRL's Julian Grace joining us live now. Julian, you were there for the memorial. How was it?
Well, very touching, Ashley. I can tell you more than 100 people filled this space right here, and they wanted to grieve together and also hear statements from the family members for the first time. Here is video of that memorial service that took place right where I'm standing earlier today. We also heard from Mayor Jock Gilbert and Police Chief Jason Armstrong during the service. The candles were lit and they signed books sharing condolences to people who were in the crowd. We also heard from a spokesperson for Nancy Taylor's family and also Gabrielle Raymond. Taylor was described as a loving grandmother and Raymond was described as a light that would light up the heart of those around her.
The most important thing to her besides her family was her faith and her relationship with Jesus Christ. She mentioned that one of her favorite things to do was to pray. And our faith is probably the only thing carrying us through this horrible time.
She could light up your heart, your life. Her smile and laugh were infectious. Her love of her family and friends was evident in her day-to-day life.
Very powerful statement. I do want to tell you this also, Ashley. After this vigil was over, people just stood here talking with one another and mourning with each other. Coming up later tonight at 10 and 11, you will hear more from tonight's service.
These two women were clearly so loved. Julian Grace reporting live in Apex. Thank you.
Wake Christian Academy students returned to class today after threats of violence caused them to cancel classes there last week. We see a lot of this sort of thing nowadays, and pretty soon schools are going to have a new tool to help prevent it. A team of people will help identify students who are in danger to themselves or others. WRL's Matt Tallhelm shows us how it works and how parents play a role.
We literally have children approach us and say, your team saved my life.
Amy Louder is director of student safety with Cabarrus County Schools outside Charlotte. It's one of the first school systems in the state to set up threat assessment teams.
Students who are engaging in acts of violence typically are telling people about it.
The new state law requires every school system create threat assessment teams made up of people with expertise in counseling, instruction, school administration, and law enforcement. Their job is to identify threatening behavior. That's described as any communication or action that indicates an individual may pose a danger to the safety or well-being of school staff or students through acts of violence or other behaviors that would cause harm to self or others. The threats could come in through the Say Something Anonymous reporting system, which the majority of school systems in the state use.
The primary purpose is to get that child some assistance, identify some resources so that that child will not be a threat to themselves or other children.
Karen Fairley is executive director of the state's Center for Safer Schools. Fairley says the teams will work with parents or guardians to get their students the help they need.
I'm feeling confident that this is going to allow children who otherwise would not be able to articulate that they are having a challenge to get some support.
The law here requires school systems create those threat assessment teams by March 1st, but the Department of Public Instruction here at the Education Building is still developing the guidance for the school systems to follow as they put those teams in place. Matt Tallhelm, WRAL News, Raleigh.
House Republicans are moving forward with articles of impeachment against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. If they're successful, it would be just the second time in American history that a cabinet secretary has been impeached. Republicans accuse Mayorkas of refusing to enforce border security laws. The committee in charge of this could vote as early as tomorrow morning. Joining me now to explain the charges and how they factor into a presidential election year is NC State political science professor Stephen Green. Stephen, thank you for joining us tonight.
Good to be here.
Let's start with the charges themselves. There are two articles to speak of here: willful and systemic refusal to comply with the law and breach of public trust. Republicans accuse Mayorkas of knowingly making false statements and obstructing lawful oversight. What does this mean? Does it mean that he broke the law and tried to cover it up?
No, in short, it means there is a policy dispute about how his department is enforcing the law. There is always a fair amount of discretion in how an executive department is going to enforce the law. It is often impossible to enforce the law as written. Nobody actually thinks we can have zero immigrants illegally crossing the border. So there's always going to be some discretion, some authority in how the law is interpreted and implemented. And honestly, as many constitutional scholars have said, this is turning a fairly standard policy dispute into a constitutional issue, which is a dangerous precedent.
Well, let's talk about the timing of these congressional charges. How does this factor into the 2024 presidential race?
Well, this is 100% what it's about. Again, the Republicans have not produced a single constitutional scholar who has suggested this is actually comes anywhere close to meeting the standards of impeachment. Their own kind of go-to constitutional scholar, a law professor, Jonathan Turley, has said this is nowhere close to impeachable offenses. And in that light, it's hard to interpret it as anything other than, attempt to get attention to the immigration issue in the context of the 2024 election.
So what should we expect of tomorrow's committee meeting? Does this have any chance of getting through the House and the Senate?
Well, it certainly has a chance of getting through the House. The Republicans have a majority in the House, and an impeachment vote simply takes a majority of the House. For a conviction in the Senate, that takes two-thirds of a vote in the Senate, and especially in a Democratic-controlled Senate, there's essentially zero chance of that happening. And Republicans realize there's 0% chance of him actually being removed for office. So I really do think this needs to be seen through the lens of the electoral effects and its role in the 2024 presidential campaign.
Interesting insight here. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. Really appreciate it.
The Kansas City Chiefs are back in the Super Bowl. That means Taylor Swift will be cheering in the stands. Some people are saying, wow, this seems convenient. The whole thing is rigged. You've probably heard that one before. People saying all kind of crazy things on the internet. But when does it become dangerous? We're going to go in depth.
When a high school student chosen to research computers that are 1,000 times more powerful than what we have today. Kat?
And there's only one day this week where you'll need the umbrella. I'll break down when we see that change coming up.
The Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers are back in the Super Bowl. Now, if you don't remember, these teams actually faced off in the big game just 4 years ago. And you could say that this rematch isn't much of a surprise. They're two talented, well-run, well-coached teams, and now they're returning to the championship. But there are some others out there, even former presidential candidates, who believe that this is actually all preordained, that the two best teams in the country didn't get there on merit alone. Sure, the Chiefs and the Niners may have been the two teams with the best odds to reach the Super Bowl before the season even started, but no, there are people out there who believe that all of it was rigged. Here to explain the theory, WRAL investigative sports reporter Brian Murphy. Brian, please educate me here.
Well, you're likely to hear two names above all others for the next 2 weeks. That's Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, the global pop superstar and the Kansas City Chiefs all-pro tight end. Once again, the spotlight is on them. Some believe that their relationship is some sort of political conspiracy to artificially inflate the popularity of both, and then use that popularity to boost the ratings for the NFL, promote vaccines, and ultimately re-elect President Biden. See if you can follow. Swift, a music superstar for two decades and now a megastar on the highest grossing tour of all time, is dating Kelce, a future Hall of Fame player who has hosted a reality TV dating show and Saturday Night Live. The NFL, the most popular sport in the nation, is rigging games to get the Chiefs into their third Super Bowl in 4 years. The media is focusing all its attention on this couple, and this is all being done to help President Biden win re-election? That's what former GOP candidate Vivek Ramaswamy says, and he's not alone. Social media is filled with this particular conspiracy theory. Some wonder if all the magazine covers that Swift graces are not an attempt to sell magazines, but an attempt to sell her to the American people. After all, the New York Times reports Biden aides have Swift atop their wish list for an endorsement this year. She did come out against President Trump in 2020, and Kelce is doing TV commercials for Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine. So, Dan, what do you think? True love or a plot to take over 2024?
What a complicated thing. Both, right? True love and a plot to take over the country in 2024. I think the best way to handle this, Brian, is to go in depth. And I'll be honest with you, I'm almost reluctant to discuss this topic because in an effort to cut through the noise, we run the risk of actually becoming part of the noise. But we'll try our best. And we'll start with the tweet from Vivek Ramaswamy that Brian was talking about. He wrote in there, "I wonder who's going to win the Super Bowl next month," and then calling Swift and Kelce this artificially culturally propped up couple. It seems like he's suggesting that the NFL could be rigging the scores of games, which is a wild thing to say without citing any evidence, and not because of the political influence of this famous couple, but because of the implications of fraud. I mean, think of the gambling businesses alone. I mean, last year, an estimated 50 million Americans wagered on the Super Bowl, and bets totaled an estimated $16 billion. They expect those numbers to be even bigger this year. If the NFL conspired to rig games, I mean, that's fraud involving billions of dollars, a federal crime. But I'm probably looking too far into it. I mean, the whole thing was tweeted without really much conviction. Vivek even said in the tweet, "just some wild speculation over here." And honestly, well, you probably shouldn't be too caught off guard by this type of rhetoric nowadays. The social and political landscape is filled with mainstream examples of unfounded conspiracies connected by speculation and circumstance. This month, NBC News published this: "Disinformation poses an unprecedented threat in 2024, and the U.S. is less ready than ever," explaining how advances in technology, for instance, particularly artificial intelligence, have made it easier to create and disseminate propaganda. I mean, this is real and something you honestly need to be looking out for. A perfect example playing out just this week with none other than Taylor Swift, when nude deepfake images of her went viral on X, amassing tens of millions of views before that they were taken down. Completely fake pictures. I mean, frankly, we can't trust pictures anymore. And apparently some of you don't trust the NFL or our elected officials or voting or the political party you don't agree with or doctors or experts or non-experts. Some of you don't trust teachers or parents. Some of you don't trust judges or the police or the activists who are against the police or the attorneys who support the activists or support the police. Some of you don't trust the news or me. And maybe, well just maybe, that's not the worst thing. I mean, you shouldn't blindly trust anyone trying to sell you something, a product, or an idea. I mean, you have to be proactive, educate yourself, doubt things, dig for answers, learn to think critically. Meaning, if someone suggests that the most famous singer in the world is in cahoots with the NFL to fabricate a relationship with an aging tight end in order to defraud American businesses and encourage young people to vote for a presidential candidate 8 months before the election, you should want some supporting evidence. And while we're at it, if someone tells you to vote a certain way because they can write great songs or catch touchdowns, you should want some supporting evidence there as well. And same goes for this segment. I try my best to tell you balanced stories, but my best is all I got. Sometimes I miss things. I need another perspective. I need you at home to be part of this segment with me. So please email me at dan@wral.com. Tell me what is on your mind, what you think the local news is missing, what should we be talking about. Tell me your ideas and we will go in depth.
Mm-hmm. Social media is filled with speculation.
You know, and we got to get used to it. It's here. It's not going anywhere. And
you got to be smarter than that, right? It's your responsibility.
Absolutely.
Let's send things over to meteorologist Kat Campbell with the look ahead.
You know, sometimes people can post fake snow maps on social media, things like that. Keep that one in mind, too. We got you covered. If we see anything interesting, we will let you know. But for now, we've got some ups and downs temperature-wise this week and one chance for rain. So tomorrow morning as you wake up, temperatures are going to be around freezing. It's cooler at the bus stop. Kids are going to want to have their coats in the morning. As we get toward lunchtime, 47, partly cloudy. So we begin to cloud up throughout the day. High temperatures tomorrow in the lower 50s, and that is right on par with normal for this time of year. We got one nice day of normal temperatures thrown in this week. The one day you're going to want to have your umbrella is going to be Wednesday. Late tomorrow night is when the rain could begin to move in, but it wouldn't be till after midnight. So shouldn't need your umbrella at all tomorrow. It's early Wednesday that you'll need the umbrella, and we could see impacts to the Wednesday morning commute from this system. This system is originating all the way up in Canada. A lot of our systems that we've seen lately that have produced rain have come closer to the Gulf of Mexico and tracked through the southeast. So the difference here is that this system doesn't have all that Gulf moisture to work with. So it's not expected to bring very heavy rain with it. However, it's still a potent system, and it is still likely to bring some rain our way early Wednesday. A chilly, light rain in the forecast. If we had a better cold air source with how far south this low pressure system is going to dive, it could have produced snow, but we just don't have that good cold air source in place. Looks like it's just a chilly, light rain for us. It would be less than a quarter of an inch. If we take a look at future casts here, through tomorrow afternoon, we see the clouds build, but no rain is expected. The rain could begin to move in as we get toward 4 or 5 a.m. Wednesday morning. You can see some scattered showers around, a little blue up in the Virginia mountains and the North Carolina mountains, but we are expected to see light rain here locally through about lunchtime, and then after that, rain chances should taper off. I want to show you our WRAL Weather Watcher photo tonight. I'd asked for folks to send some pictures in at 5:30. You delivered. Thank you to Pam Adams, a beautiful sunset on Lake Benson here. You can see her tiki bar here in the foreground of the picture. If you have a sunset photo you'd like to share with us, go to WRAL.com and search Weather Watchers. I know Mike Mays will be looking for some photos to show tonight as well. Outside, it's pretty quiet in Goldsboro. You can see lit up and looking beautiful. A live look from Top of the Hill Restaurant in Chapel Hill. Quite a few people out and about. Apex and Wake Forest looking good tonight. We're back down to freezing, 30 in Roxboro, 32 in the Triangle and Rocky Mount, 34 in Fayetteville. We've had a lot of warm nights recently, or at least warm for January. Remember tonight, with freezing temperatures, you need to bring your pets back indoors. Looking ahead, our 7-day has some ups and downs, but there's nothing too drastic. We're not going from the teens to the 70s on this 7-day cycle, at least. 40s with the rain on Wednesday. We do see temperatures bounce back Thursday into Friday. Upper 50s to lower 60s looking good. Right now, it looks dry through the weekend, and then early next week, we could cool back down a little bit. Dan and Ashley?
Do you think, Kat, that you can put in a good word with Pam? I'd love to go to her tiki bar once the weather warms up a little bit.
You know what? It's not too far of a drive. We'll see. She may be watching. She was watching at 5:30.
There you go. Thanks, Kat. Up next, how a high school student from our area is leaving his mark on new technology that will change the world.
A high school senior from our area is helping to develop some new research in the new science of quantum computing. Davis Clark goes to Middle Creek High. He is among 500 students recruited to tackle this complicated subject. The Duke Quantum Center hired him, giving him access to their labs. The computers could one day have the ability to do things that are near impossible right now.
Basically, better engineering of anything from cars to planes, the likes, fluid simulations, engineering boats, and things of that nature. New materials for sustainability.
He says the benefits of the system could lead to better engineering, as you said there, of cars and planes, as well as materials that could help our environment.
Wow, amazing. A smartphone will soon use AI to help people better manage their health care. It's called Together by Renee. The app scans your pill bottles and can remind you when to take your next dose. It can also scan your face and analyze your voice to detect any signs of anxiety and depression. UNC Chief Data Scientist Michael Pensina says he supports advancements in AI, but still urges caution.
I strongly believe there is potential for clinical AI, but the bar is higher on a number of levels, right? The performance of these algorithms has to be thoroughly tested and found to be good and accurate, because we don't want misdiagnoses in either direction.
No, exactly. The app developer says it is not intended to replace your doctor and still encourages users to keep up regular visits. But fascinating what these apps can say they do.
And just think about the stories in the newscast, how technology impacts our social world, our political world, our health.
So true.
I mean, it really is startling.
Yeah, it sure is. Thanks for making WREL your choice for local news.
Our next newscast is 10 o'clock on Fox 50 and back here on WREL at 11. We'll see you then.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.